there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. Today, you're going to learn how to streamline your workflow. Whether you're a coach or a strategist or whatever, we're going to give you strategies for maximum efficiency. Because I'm talking to Trent True, and Trent has over 20 years of experience in research, public presentations, mentoring, advocacy, advocacy and customer service. Trent's a published writer, a photographer, and he's worked in the library profession. My kind of guy. As an online strategist and content creator, Trent serves experts in nonprofit organizations with their launches, their funnels, their content writing, their CRM systems, and automation. He is a geek, yep, for sure. His agency, Apex Compass Solutions, serves entrepreneurs with optimizing their websites, branded apps, and other CRM platforms. In his spare time, Trent enjoys old movies, working on his digital illustrations, or creative writing projects. So let's welcome Trent. You're going to love this interview. Hi, everyone. As promised, I am with Trent True, and we're going to talk about how to optimize, how to systematize, how to get more done in less time, because Trent is a guy about systems. So hey, Trent, thanks and coming on for coming on the show. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you again, Kathy. Certainly a pleasure to be here today.
Absolutely. I'm having a tongue-twisting kind of day, so you have to bear with me, everybody. So let's talk about, now, I like this in the bio said you used to work in the library, and that was one of my favorite things in life was actually when I was young, going to the library with my father. That was our Saturday afternoon kind of thing. So what did you do in the library system?
It's interesting because I'm sort of one of those rare species that when I worked in the field, I actually worked in both public libraries and academic libraries. So I did sort of a wide range of things. I worked at front circulation desks. I worked at a reference desk for a couple of years in a public library system. And when I worked at branches, that was kind of like a one-person agency sort of thing where it was everything from, you know, answering the phone to, you know, handling, you know, fines that were being disputed to troubleshooting computers to, you know, walking people around through the stack. So it was really kind of a wide range of things.
Interesting. Yeah, I always thought being a library researcher would be really fun. It's like sleuthing, you know. And mm-hmm. Do you think that your beginnings were you already a techie when you were doing this, or did you kind of create your technical skills as you were going through the one man show at the smaller library?
I would say that I've always had very particular interests in tech and things that are sort of, you know, tech connected. I've always considered myself to be a geek, and, you know, frankly, I own the label. I've always, you know, had curiosity as what I would call one of my main traits, you know, learning about the how and the why, and, you know, sort of like the hidden nuts and bolts of things that most people never really, you know, take the time to learn about, because that's where the real magic, you know, happens with things.
Yeah, it's interesting. So talk to me about your journey. What are you doing now, and how did you get there?
Right. So I like to say that I'm kind of one of those cliche stories that I decided to become an entrepreneur, you know, full force when COVID paid us a visit about this time 5 years ago, you know, when things were really escalating. I've had some different experiences in my life where I did sort of volunteer related and advocacy work, you know, for nonprofit organizations and things like that. And you know, I realized that when we had the situation unfolding 5 years ago, that there are a lot of people and there are a lot of organizations that kind of fill in those small liminal spaces that do very valuable work that sometimes, unfortunately, institutions, whether it's government, you know, whether it's, you know, larger things and bureaucracies, don't always really, quote unquote, get things right.
Yeah.
And I know that that's, you know, sort of a trending thing nowadays, you know, that bureaucracies and things like that are not always necessarily for the best. But, you know, as I say, there are individual activists, there are individual coaches and nonprofit organizations that I think really do a lot of the heavy lifting out there.
Yeah, a lot of the nonprofits do a lot of the heavy lifting that we don't even know we might be experiencing what they're not doing here in the future. We'll find out. But so when you decided to launch, where were you working prior to COVID, and then where what did you launch during COVID? We all launch
Prior to
different
COVID,
things. It's interesting.
when I was outside of the library field, I worked for several years in the call center industry. I did sales, I did customer and tech support. I mentored new reps, you know, that would come inside the team sometimes. I would sometimes take escalated calls, you know, the calls when the customer is extra unhappy about something and they want to talk to someone above, you know, the first voice they hear. That's not always the greatest experience, I will be honest with you.
Now,
But I did that for a while, and I also worked as an emergency dispatcher, you know, just prior to the COVID era.
And so when you decide to launch, what did you do? What's your business?
When I decided to launch, the angle that that I initially wanted to kind of emphasize more was my identity as a writer. And the fact that I know that coaches and nonprofit organizations, freelancers, et cetera, that they need copy, you know, that they rely on copywriting. And I also consider myself a visually creative person because I've always been interested in photography and in graphic design. So the idea of doing that combined with doing flyers and offering, you know, logos, you know, flyer design. Seemed like a pertinent thing to do, you know, 5 years ago when the dust was really kind of kicking up on us.
Absolutely. So if you had to, so the people that are listening here are either solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, one girl shows, or maybe they have a team. What type of systems do you suggest for people who are kind of at the point where they need to implement some more systems on a basic level so they can get more done, or perhaps automate something so they have more time to actually run their business as opposed to being stuck in their business?
Right. Well, you know, the answer that I give, which surprises a lot of people, is that while obviously I'm a very, very strong advocate of CRM systems, and there's certainly more than one out there, I kind of term myself platform agnostic, you know, as far as that goes, because some of them, you know, I think are more suitable depending on what stage of a person is, whether they're just starting out, as you say. But to answer your question more precisely, I would say that for someone that needs organization and that needs things to be streamlined, they would really want to look at a system like Notion or Trello as kind of a jumping off point, you know, for solidifying, having that success.
Yeah, I love Trello. I use it. I have so many boards, and for me, being a visual, I see things visually. It really helps because the boards you can move around, and I have my podcast board. I have my basic board. I have my team board. I have my creative board. It goes on and on and on, and it's really good for keeping things visually organized. For me, that's very important. I know my husband loves workflowy, and for me, it's just like broken. It's broken lines of things, but he thrives on it. So I'm with you, Trent. And there's no one solution that's good for everyone. But if you are a very visual type of learner and you have a lot of projects in the brew right now, a lot of irons in the fire, definitely I think you need something like Trello. Now let's describe your other platform that you're talking about.
The
Notion.
other the other system that I mentioned just a moment ago, Notion, is something which is kind of similar and somewhat of a, I guess you might say, a friendly rival or friendly competitor to Trello, you know, inside the digital asset space. But what's interesting about Trello is that, or excuse me, with Notion rather, is that there's a certain level of versatility to it. that I think, frankly, a lot of coaches and a lot of entrepreneurs really are not that familiar with, but could leverage in ways that they really haven't thought about. Now, here's a good, for instance, with Notion. If you're like me, you know, you're probably on a number of email lists. You know, I'm sure everybody here listening is, but what I find is a really, really, you know, cool, versatile way that can really fit with your brand and your identity is to use Notion for kind of like landing pages. You can make landing pages where you use that as kind of like a lead magnet, like, you know, like say, for example, I know that you're interested also in systems. You know, you and I, we recently had a conversation, obviously, about Google Workspace.
Yeah.
You have this really great idea that came out of an event that you and I were both in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's say, for example, that you wanted to give people kind of like, you know, five things that you're overlooking in your Google Workspace workflow. Notion could be a really easy way to build a landing page that gives them those tips, you know, that offers an infographic and then has a call to action button.
Yeah, you know what I think is very interesting, for the past few years is that you don't really have to have a website anymore. In fact, it you kind of want a URL, but, you know, having landing pages to capture leads is really more important than having a big daddy website. So for those of you who are starting out, you just want to connect with people, give them something so that you can get their email so that you can stay in touch. Because really, it's all about now, you know, customer relations, being in touch with the people, not just having a website that looks beautiful out there. It's actually getting them to interact with you and download certain things. So I'll have to check out Notion. I've never really even looked at it. I didn't know you could build landing pages. Now, for those of you who don't know, a CRM is a customer relationship manager, and we all need those. At least we need a way that we can, you know, collect our data. Do you have any CRMs that you would recommend for newbies? I know I use Less Annoying CRM. It's easy, it's quick, it's inexpensive, and it's robust. Do you have any that you feel are good?
I would say that I know that a lot of coaches like system.io, if they're not wanting to look at something which is, you know, particularly, you know, what I call Photoshop level CRMs, you know, kind of like go high level, which I will be honest, that is a platform that I do work in a lot with clients. But again, as I say, it's not necessarily really always the best entry point when someone's starting out. Now, you can make it as robust and you can make it as pared down as you like, but System.io is one which I know is fairly well liked. And, you know, again, like I say, to be honest, a lot of people actually manage quite well using, you know, productivity systems, just like Notion and Trello, you know, to where that they feel like they're ready to level up, you know, to something like high level.
Right, right. And I think the thing about Go High Level that I like is it can be very basic. But then you have the platform, you don't have to switch to something whenever you're ready to upscale and go more robust. So that's one thing that I think is great with Go High Level is, you know, it can start very, very, very small. You don't have to get overwhelmed to just get the entry point, but then you can, it will grow with you. And I think that's something that I learned, gosh, you know, I've been doing this 20 years in this particular field, that I didn't have programs that would go with me. They would grow with me. So I kept having to change. And so if any of you are looking for things out there to kind of upscale, make sure that it can grow with you before you invest a lot of time and effort into getting yourself into something and having to pay yourself to get yourself out. For sure.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of tips would you give people who are ready to expand and increase their business? Do you have any solid tips or educational points that you could give people?
Yeah, I would say that for me, it would be starting with basically kind of like doing an audit of, you know, your systems and what are the core things in your everyday workflow, in your everyday ecosystem that, you know that you depend on, but that are maybe not quite as tight and are not quite as, you know, systematic as, you know, what they could be. For me, it's kind of always having that initial conversation with yourself. And, you know, if you have a team, you know, by all means, you know, have the team-wide conversation. You know, get if you have a VA, if you have an OBM, if you don't, that's okay too. Not everybody does, but if you also have a peer, maybe another coach, you know, that maybe is more accustomed to those systems, start with those conversations.
Yeah, that's a great advice. Even if you don't have a VA, definitely you have a peer that's doing something that might be just a little bit further along on the trap and has done a few of the platforms. They know the good, bad, and the ugly and what to recommend for sure.
Right. Right. What works, what doesn't. Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. So talk to me a little bit about your experience, you know, since you've been launching. Do you have a story about a client that you have helped? Where were they at and what happened with the transformation?
Yeah, so I would say that for me, one of the things that I particularly like to think of as a sort of a you know, success in disguise, as I call it, is that when a person has actually kind of one of those realization moments where they decide that, you know, their brand or the idea that they have for a launch is not really necessarily on track, but there's a way to salvage that. And there's a way to basically, you know, flip the script to where it's like, okay, you know what? If this niche or if this target audience is not where you really want to go from this point on, then you know what? That's totally fine. That's not going to destroy your business. That's not going to destroy the work that we've already done together. Now, it was a very extended conversation, and you know, it was a very, you know, we've got to unpack several things. Like, you know, here's some alternate ideas, but you know, for me, it's like I say, it's those quiet, you know, those quiet transformations where a person is like, well, you know, I think that this really might be a better direction instead. And when they really lean into that, and when they really commit to that, it really truly has changed the trajectory of what she's been doing. She's now much more confident in the direction that she's taken. She's like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to spend any more time, you know, chasing down these things for an audience that I can't support, and I'm going to really, you know, lean into something that I know I can make a difference in.
That's the thing about entrepreneurship is being fluid. And I know you and I were talking about vertical markets for the same product and just being fluid to figure out how can we best help this particular segment of people. And you know what? We can't be all things to all people, which is something that I think as new people starting out, I know in my profession as a professional organizer, we try to be a general, we try to do everything. Right. And then we whittle down, you know, we all start as generalists and then we say, oh, I'm not necessarily jamming on this kind of client. I really love this kind of client. I have some of my colleagues, they won't touch a garage. Now I will still get into a garage because it's a workout for me. So I kind of like that. But at the same time, I can sit in my office and, you know, consult with someone in on Zoom in France. So, you know, having you learn who you like to work with, basically. And from that, then you can create the product that will appeal to those people. I think that's a really important thing to think of is who's your ideal client? Who do you like to hang out with? Because don't you think, Trent, that who you like to hang out with are the people that like to hang out with you?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think to kind of illustrate the point a little bit further about, you know, the journey that my client took, it's not only just about brand identity and self-identity. There's what I would call a third type of identity, which is, you know, what I like to call impact identity, which is, you know, for a life coach, it may not necessarily be, for example, you know, working with single moms or single parents. It might be doing, you know, like peer-to-peer education. Or it might be working with, you know, small and medium-sized businesses as like a facilitator. You know, there are a lot of there are a lot of workforce issues. There's lots of ways that, you know, she can do things like, you know, team building and skills development training. And that's something that, as I say, that she decided that was the greater impact identity that made sense for her.
I like that. Talk about the three different types of identity again. That's very interesting.
Let me try to refresh that real quick. I think I said self-identity, brand identity, and impact identity.
Right. So self-identity.
Who am I? Why am I?
Yeah. Why am I doing this? You know, why is it important to me? You know, that's the self-identity. And I actually think that's the first stepping point, right, of creating any kind of new company is, you know, who am I and why do I want to do this and what can I offer, right? Okay, right. So then we go with self, then we go to brand. It's like, okay, I'm out, I'm going to launch. Now, what am I going to look like? How am I going to present myself, right?
Right. Another way that a person can, you know, frame that if they don't necessarily want to stay confined to brand, but although I would say that brand, you know, can be a lot more expansive in a lot of ways, but just for the sake of argument, let's say that somebody's like, okay, can I make that audience identity? My answer would be, well, yeah, absolutely. I think that either works.
Audience identity, meaning?
Yeah. Who do I want to serve? Can I relate to them? Are they going to legitimately relate to me? Do I have that origin story, you know, which is going to resonate with that audience? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something too, that if you're listening and you haven't, you know, part of your self-identity is your origin story. And what I found over the years is, you know, the origin story, it's so interesting to me because mine has morphed over and over and over, even though I'm the same person. But you really need to dig deep into your origins to figure out why you are who you are. And actually, that's your USP, right? That's your unique selling proposition or unique selling point is, you know, why are you here and who are why. Why are you different from everybody else? And what I love, but it comes back to that origin story. Why are you who you are, right? Where did you come from? What did you come through? You know, like for you, Trent, you know, how did you get into the library system? Like, were you an avid reader? I mean, I was a book absorber, but what happened with you? What's your origin story of what brought you to here?
Yeah, for me, it was, you know, kind of like I referred to with curiosity. It was the fact that, you know, when I was younger, I was a little bit of an outlier, you know, versus people my age where I actually liked to spend time at the library. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as something that was kind of like a chore or something to be avoided, you know, like going to the dentist. I actually liked going there and I actually liked, you know, burrowing into things. So for me, it sort of became, you know, that natural extension of, okay, it's knowing about, like I said, those hidden layers of things and helping people find those hidden layers.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're so good at tech, because you can burrow down into it and figure out why is it working? How is it working? What's broken? I do not have that aptitude. I'm not particularly a big techie as such or a nerd, but the curiosity's there. And, you know, we have an affinity for that. I was telling Trent before we filmed that my favorite thing, my father and daughter thing, was we would go to the library on Saturdays and my father would research. And I would just get immersed in the aisles and aisles and aisles of books and just be happy as a clam. And, you know, so isn't that interesting? We have that commonality. So let's see here. If you had to tell yourself, your 17-year-old self, any advice, what would you give him at this point for little Trent?
You know, that's a really intriguing question. And my answer is kind of dialing into the geek, you know, identity for just a second here. I remember back in the day when I was younger that there was a poster that was kind of popular that I would see here and there. I even saw it like in a doctor's office once, of all places. It's a poster that has the everything that I need to know about life I learned from Star Trek.
Yep.
So. My answer to your question in a long-winded way is it's taking my lifelong love and passion for science fiction and world building and things that come from kind of like the depth of characters and the depth of creativity and imagination, that those things will serve you later on in life in ways that you can't foresee.
Yeah, I remember that poster. That's funny. You saw it in a doctor's office.
Yeah, I think it might have been because somebody on their staff, you know, was a Trekkie, but yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, somebody was probably the doctor.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
Possibly. You never know. Okay. Is there anything that I should have asked you that we haven't talked about?
That's a colorful question.
It is. We could go on.
That I think. Yeah, I think that for me, an intriguing question would be, how has my identity as a writer and as a creative helped shape and help reinforce, you know, my instincts as a business person? The analogy that I always like to make is that a writer is that a lot of aspiring writers have this very arm's length or unfriendly view of traditional things like the publishing industry, because they see those things as kind of like built-in barriers, you know, or gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm going to submit this manuscript, I'm going to submit the story, and it's going to get rejected, and I'm going to be wasting my time and wasting my energy. Mm-hmm. But the metaphor for me is the writer is that it's always thinking about things in a very granular way, and, you know, having that resolve, having that determination, not being afraid of, you know, the red editor's pen in your own head and your own voice, and, you know, publishing your own success on your terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. When I released my first book in 2009, it was right when self-publishing was the thing. And, you know, so I started my own publishing house and published my own book, and it was fantastic. And I still do, to this day. You know, now it's more common, but what I did was so funny when you, what flashed through my brain when you said, don't be afraid of the red lines of your editors. I actually had two editors editing on my book at the same time. I think I was bonkers at that point. I don't know why I did that. But what came out of that was there's not a single typo in my book that we've ever been able to find since, you know, 2009. What is that, 15, 16 years? It's crazy. And so there is something to be said about that. But at the time I was like, you know, whew, like that.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's, you know, like I say, there's definitely a lot of parallels that can come out of that. And that'd really be a whole separate conversation. You know, metaphors of, you know, the writer's identity or writer's mode to how it impacts or how it overlays other things in business. But that would be my answer.
Yeah, I think it's really, truly true. And, you know, as all of us as entrepreneurs, we're not afraid to take the leap anyhow. We took the leap. So, you know, are we afraid to get edited? Nah. I mean, I love criticism, actually. I welcome it because it's an outside perspective that I had perhaps not even thought of, you know? Yeah. I think editing, not being afraid of any type of editing, is a good trait for us as entrepreneurs, and back to the being fluid and being in the flow of things and shifting our perspective. So these are all really great, tips, Trent. I know that you have a website and you have something, to offer. So, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so my brand new website, apexcompasssolutions.mvsite.app, is where people can go to learn more about me and what I do and who I support. When you scroll down on the homepage, there's a button that says click on the About Me page to read a little bit more. When they go there, they can get a little bit more context about me. And halfway down that page, they can sign up for my free newsletter. They just confirm their email when they do that. And they will get a free resource guide on how to think about where they are in their workflow and some things that they could maybe streamline or start using a little bit more successfully to level up and scale up and, you know, think like a writer, you know, just be determined, you know, like I say, and do some world building for themselves in the right way.
Yeah, I love that. Any kind of checklist that can give us perspective from an outside person is always good. So go ahead and download. I actually put the link directly to the About page down in show notes so that you guys can download it real quickly. And, you know, go for it. check it out. See what you can do. See where you are. What I think about this is that it actually shows you where you are and where you can grow too. So thanks for that, Trent. That's very generous offer. And I know your newsletter has a lot of good, good motivational and creative sparks for us as we move forward in the land of entrepreneurship. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it covers a lot of themes, you know, not exclusively tech, but also, like I say, brand voice, ideas about brand development and business development and trends that are going on. You and I both, of course, we also know a lot of talented people. And there's a lot of things out there in circulation that I want to make sure that people know about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So jump on there. And Trent, I really appreciate your time. It's good to hang out with you again. And until next time, gang, we will see you at the next podcast. Make sure to download. Make sure to like it. If you have a minute, just give me a comment. That really helps the algorithms of this podcast. So give me some love and give Trent some love. And I appreciate you for being here. And I appreciate y'all for listening. Thanks, Trent.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.